Welcome to the Coaching Lab Podcast, where basketball coaches build more success in less time by increasing their ability to teach, lead, and coach the players on their team and in their program.
Thank you for joining us, coaches. We are here with Anthony Gerson from Fundraisin. He is the CEO, and he is going to share with us kind of this unique approach to fundraising and how we can make it fun again and put the community into it. So it's going to be a great episode as we as leaders look to just kind of enhance our ability to make our programs better, give our athletes the things that they need to succeed, and keep ourselves organized because we wear so many different hats. So, Anthony, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, this is awesome because I know fundraising is something that every coach, whether you do a little bit of it or you do a lot of it for your program, it's part of it. As a varsity coach, you have to have some fundraising in the mix to make sure that you have the balls, you got the jerseys, you got whatever it is. And for some coaches, that they just get paid. I mean, they fundraise for their position that they're at. Right. So let's, before we jump too much into the fundraising piece of it, though, if you could share just a little bit of your background in athletics and kind of the approach that you took even before you did the fundraising thing, what does life look like in sports at your house and when you were growing up and all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been coaching for going on 17 years now. All across the board, my favorite sport to coach is basketball. Without a doubt, that's been my 17-year coaching sport, but I've coached volleyball, lacrosse, soccer, anything under the sun, really, just to enjoy that experience. I have two twin daughters. They'll be 15 in a couple weeks, so as soon as they could walk, I threw them in whatever I could. Maybe it was a little selfish of me because I wanted to be coaching all year round. But since they were about 4 years old, so going about 10 or 11 years now, we've had a pretty strict basketball regimen. Everything from the rec leagues when the hoops are actually reachable for the kids, all the way up to our AAU now school. I absolutely love coaching for basketball. Currently, I coach at the high school they go to. I think I weaseled my way in from screaming a little too loudly on the bleachers. but they'll be sophomores next year playing. Prior to that, I was coaching them in junior high. Prior to that, in middle school. And I'm just, you know, some parents like to live vicariously through their children. I like to live side by side with them.
And I like that.
Following them wherever they go. I also coach about a half a dozen AAU teams at any given time. Used to be out in Los Angeles, California. Now I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. So it's a different environment, but still AAU is a blast to coach. And fundraising is, as you said, one of the parts of coaching, whether it be for jerseys, like you said, or when you're at that higher high school level, you need to figure out how you're going to pay the refs or the buses to get to those games. If you're gone for a tournament, you're talking lunches, maybe dinners, matching team gear. So it has always been, at least for me, one of my least favorite parts about the coaching experience, but it's one of the required aspects of it. And with fundraising, I mean, we've done, or we tried everything under the sun, whether it was let's have a car wash here or let's get this coupon card from these few different restaurants. We tried magazine drives, gift wrap. We've tried hosting dances. And in high school, it's a little bit easier because when there's a game, you know, you can sell snacks at the game and a dollar here, a dollar there helps. But at the same time, when your expenses far exceed what you're getting from your snack booth, you need to make up for it. And that's honestly, I came up with fundraising for the school I coach at now.
Awesome. And we're going to get into fundraising here. I'm going to leave everybody just kind of hanging for just a second, though, because you brought up something that's really interesting. You did the cards, you did the magazines, you did, you know, whatever, a dance or and it, coaches have tried so many things, the car washes, all of that stuff. And one thing that I, as a coach, that I struggle with is how much time do I have to organize something? Not only to get the people on board, the company we're going to do the car wash at, or getting the card set up with businesses in our area, you know, because, you know, we don't want a generic one where people can't get to those stores and that kind of thing. That's been a struggle in the past. But with fundraising, you know, are people going, are they going door to door with this? Are they selling something? I mean, can you give us just a hint at what the basics of fundraising is?
Yeah, we'll leave that little cliffhanger so we can keep everyone on the edge of their seats. But that is one of the main premises of fundraising, is that these kids are athletes. They're not salespeople. And more importantly, they are kids. They're playing basketball or whatever sport it may be because they love that sport. They want to improve at that sport. And it's sometimes overwhelming. Like, hey, you want to play? Here's your fees. Here's what you have to do to raise them. Go knock on these doors or go call everyone. And then even taking it a step further as a coach, having to manage all of that. Like, okay, Billy sold 15 cards and Sue sold 82. It's too much. So the basic premise of fundraising is that the fact that these kids are not salespeople. These kids are athletes or students, and they just get to have fun. They get to choose how they want to participate in the fundraiser, and it makes it all inclusive to anyone so that there's no fear or worry of, I need to do X amount in order to play. It's, I'm going to participate, and regardless, I'm in.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and kind of, you know, take the rabbit out of the hat, so to speak, and tell people what exactly it is that they're doing. Obviously we had a chance to talk, so I know a little bit about it, but I want you, tell our coaches. Now, this is leadership to me. This isn't just like, okay, you guys need to know how to fundraise. This is leading your program in the direction you want it to go. Do you want to look the same when you walk in the gym? Do you want that shooting machine in the gym? Do you want to give your players an experience that they'll remember in the high school level? And of course, I'm coming from the high school level mindset, but I know AAU coaches, which you can speak to a lot more than I can, with what you have to fundraise and the tournament costs and all that stuff. But this, to me, it boils down to leadership. How do you want to lead your program, and what experience do you want your players to have? So give us, what is fundraising exactly?
All right. Well, fundraising is, as of now, the first and only of its kind challenge-based fundraising platform. It's been built to be all-inclusive and a team bonding experience for everyone in the program. At its most basic level, athletes or students complete these fun and unique and community-oriented challenges where they go out and they do everything under the sun. We've got ones that are like I said, community-oriented. Go out to the park and clean up 50 pieces of trash and design it. Maybe you want to have them design it in a basketball shape before they trash it. We've got goofy ones. It's, you know, put some makeup on using only cupcake ingredients, or, you know, crazy hair day type things where these athletes and participants can go out, take pictures of what they're doing, do these things with their friends and teammates, and then share that with their sponsors, as we call them, on our platform, which is completely safe to those who are sponsoring those athletes.
Okay. So they get a challenge. Now do they come up with their own challenge, or is this a challenge that they can choose something from a pre-made list?
There's a pre-made list. We have over 450 challenges available to them at any given time at the discretion of the program director, whether that be the coach or the athletic director, whoever it may be. They can see that entire list, select by category or select by individual challenge. But that way, it's as easy as possible. We've got prompts on our software that says, hey, today, why don't you go to the store with three of your teammates and sing karaoke until someone joins you, right? So we've got all those challenges already set up for them.
Excellent. So they get involved with fundraising. They get the challenge. And then you mentioned that they take a picture or a video or something of them doing this challenge. Now, I'm assuming that they're going to go and they're going to post this inside the platform for people to see.
Correct.
How exactly though does this equal fundraising? Where does the money part of it? Because at the end of the day, like, we've got community oriented team building opportunities. We've done something, like I said, pick up the trash. We've done something that is great for our area. Where do we bring in the funds? How does that work?
As in any fundraiser, obviously sponsors are needed.
Okay.
But these sponsors are not knock on the door and hope your neighbor who you've never seen before wants to put $5 in an envelope. I will be completely honest. A lot of this idea came from my grandmother, right? I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. She's in California. And anytime I talk to her, it's, I want to see what your girls are doing. Can you send me photos? Can you take a video of them at their game? And so marrying that with what just happened with COVID, which is still pretty prevalent, that sure, closeness is more now felt through video chats or photos or the social media platform. So in our platform, we have everything built out where you can invite people you know via email, via text message. And I'm going to use my grandma as an example. And, you know, hey, grandma, I'm doing this fundraiser for my school. I'm going to be going out and taking videos and pictures of what I'm doing. I'd love to share those with you. And I need to raise funds for X, Y, and Z. Yeah. Can you sponsor me and follow along with what I'm doing? And what I've noticed and what our company has noticed is that marriage between the two. My grandmother, sure, if my kids were selling gift wrap for $25 a bundle, she loves my kids and she would buy it. Sure. But the reward to her as the sponsor is not there. She's doing that for the kids. This is a give and take platform where she now feels connected, involved, and part of this team because she's seen everything going on.
Awesome. And I think that's a really unique approach to it, is the fact that they get to experience what the grandchild or niece or nephew or even a friend is doing from a distance there. And it's not just, hey, can we get $25?
Right.
You know, and like I said, the gift wrap thing, you know, grandma might buy that, might not, but this is, you know, kind of staying a part of it, you know, longer and more in depth than just selling a card and then you never see them again, sort
right
of thing.
Exactly.
Sure. That which is awesome. Now, what about, you know, high school teams versus AAU? And I even want to throw in there individual athletes. Okay. You're a pole vaulter. You're a golfer, you know, something like that, that you're trying to raise to get into a tournament, anything like that. Is it only for teams? I mean, can an individual use it?
Absolutely. And we've had everything across the board when it comes to which users are utilizing our platform. And if you'd like, I can touch on all three and kind of the benefits to each of those. So I can speak personally for the first two, the high school and the AAU. As a high school coach, I've used this with my team. In the local area, teams have used it in the broader region, and we've even had a few international high school teams adopt the platform over the past couple months. I feel in the high school setting, and proof in the pudding, it is known that parents, as a parent, you've got to pay for your kid to play. And parents are used to getting hit up by coaches. Hey, you want your daughter to be on this team? It's going to be X hundred dollars. And then here's this, you want a hoodie? $85. You want this? So parents are used to it. In fundraising, one of the hardest things as a coach is you have to follow up on that and keep tabs and everything. What we've noticed, and not exaggerating, with a 100% success rate thus far, fundraising has covered all of those needs out of the gate by having these athletes participate in that program. As a high school athletic director or as a coach, you know what those fees are going to be from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your schedule is going to look like, the buses you're going to need to take, the uniforms, photos, this, that, and the other. Sure. So there's no surprises. So you can set that goal and these kids, it's amazing. New platforms are scary and hard to understand, and trying to figure out how to use it is always tough. But for these athletes, especially in high school, it feels like just another platform where they get to go post pictures of what they're already doing. So they don't feel put out or have to go out of their way or that it's an obligation. They just get to have fun with their friends and teammates, share that experience with what would have been their sponsors anyway, if you're selling them a chocolate bar or begging for cash. And the success rate, again, as I've said, has been 100% of every high school team that set a goal, they've reached it.
Okay.
For AAU teams, it's a little bit different. I coach teams. I do it for fun. It's my hobby. There are a lot of AAU coaches that do it for a living and need to make those fun. So everything varies. I will give a personal example. The last season we did, I had my girls U12 AAU Bantam team, 12 game season, $640 for the season, right? We have 10 or 11 girls, so that cost is split evenly. But that's not the only cost. We've got to get matching jerseys. We've got to, you know, do team bonding events, get basketballs for our club. We want to have matching shoes maybe or duffel bags. So with that, the coach is working with a much smaller group of athletes to raise kind of a higher percentage amount of funds. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed with that is they oftentimes set their goal a little bit higher, hoping to, you know, reach for the stars. And then spend that budget based on what they have, not for their needs. So we've had everything under the sun. Teams of 7 or 8 athletes go and raise a couple $1,000s, and teams of 25 athletes raise a few $100s, just really based on what those needs for the team are. But I can pull up the numbers. I think we are at about an 82 or 83% success rate.
Okay.
Of those goals being met. And honestly, some of those goals have been a little outrageous. I had a coach put a $25,000 goal with 9 players on his team.
Wow.
Reach for the stars, right? He did really well. I think he raised somewhere in the $4,200 range with those 9 athletes. Looking at the statistics for my business, 4,200 to 25,000, it didn't quite reach it.
Right.
For individual athletes, like you had mentioned, when you have athletes playing golf or tennis or a lot of track athletes who, especially over summertime, go to events on their own to see where they're ranking, get their medals, it's actually a lot more fun, I've noticed, because it gets them involved in their success. Mm-hmm. It's not, Mom, I want to go to this tournament. It's going to cost X amount of dollars. Buy me these shoes I really need. It's them investing in themselves. And as a student or anyone under the age of 18, it's hard to say, yeah, here's my rainy day fund. I can afford this.
Yeah.
It really is dependent on those around you supporting you. So as an individual athlete, all those challenges still remain. You are just saying, I'm invested in my success. This is what I'm going to do to prove my investment. I hope you'll follow along on my journey and help me get to where I know I can be.
Now, when somebody uses a platform and they're doing the challenge, obviously posting a picture to the challenge, but can they share like what their experience is like as an athlete? You know, maybe if they're a pole vaulter, a golfer, what their last scores were, or a picture of them winning something. I mean, can they keep people up to date on other things other than just the fundraiser?
You can and you can't. At this time, it's very challenge specific, and the people in the platform are your sponsors. From the platform, you can share to social media, via email or text message, the challenge you've completed, and kind of direct them there. In the future, we are building challenges, and we have so many in there to tailor to everyone's needs, where it is, you know, show yourself in your last game that you've played, or show the score of you winning by X amount of time or X amount of points. So those challenges already exist, but this is not in and of itself a social media platform to share. It's more encouraging these athletes to participate together in an attempt to raise funds for their success.
Got it. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that, you know, you have these fun challenges that can be goofy, can be helpful, can be a lot of, you know, community and team-based stuff. But it sounds like you also have some challenges that are sports specific.
Absolutely.
That they can run as well. You know, and it's a really neat idea coming from a leadership standpoint, which I think every varsity coach or every AAU coach, you're leading your program in a unique way. And the emphasis and the type of challenge that you put on probably is dictated a little bit about the sport that you have, the type of atmosphere you want to create amongst your team, the type of team building that you want to have. So this isn't just a, like you had shared before, we're going to go sell this and then we're going to be done with it. It's really building into your culture.
Absolutely.
As a team and as a group of athletes, or as an individual athlete, it's the culture of, you know, pushing yourself to attain, you know, I want to get to that tournament, or I want to get to this goal that I've set for myself. So it's really a unique approach to it.
Touch back on what you had said a second ago, that we have sport specific challenges in there. As a basketball coach, any practice you've ever had, someone's shooting a ball from half court, right? They're trying.
Sure.
And so some of those challenges are, you know, make a half court shot, you know, and the joy of anyone making a half court shot. I'm sure every coach has seen it. It's this natural gut reaction. Yeah. You throw your hands in the air. You look to see who saw it. And so we have those challenges in there. Where, yeah, set up your phone, take a couple Curry-like shots, and wait till it goes in there, and that joy is there. With that, our sport-specific challenges are geared, yes, towards individuals, but also towards team bonding. It's great to be in a practice and run drills as a coach, but we've got challenges in there, and I'm using basketball as an example again. Mm-hmm. You know, come up with a 5-person alley-oop shot, or you and your teammate come up with a trick play down the court. Stuff like that, that what I push to a lot of the coaches who have used this platform is once a week for 2 weeks, take an hour of your practice and say, here's a few challenges. Just go have fun. Sure. You know, enjoy. And as a coach, instead of harping on your kids, where have you been? What have you raised? This, that, or the other. 1 hour of your practice once a week for 2 or 3 weeks. To let these kids have fun and really bond, not a forced bonding, but do these things they like, has proved to be extremely successful.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so many things that go through my mind as I hear you talk about the different things that we do with our teams already, and that can easily translate when team building and our culture and things like that. If you could just give us one or two examples of programs or AAU or high school based, either way, that have used the program, and just what have you seen? What have they been able to do with it? And, you know, what comes to your mind when I say that? One or two programs that have done this?
Obviously, the major success stories come to mind as a new-ish platform, kind of new concept, never really been done before. The litmus test is still very small in comparison to these companies that have been around for 50 years, just churn and burn. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Some of our success stories, I'll go to AAU first. When I started this, I was pitching it myself. I would go to the tournaments my kids were playing in. I'd say, hey, coach, I see that these jerseys are a few years old. And the coach would tell me, yeah, we're recycling them. We have the kids buy them back. We would love to get new ones. I went to this tournament in Las Vegas, Nevada. I think they are called the Mob. Erin Thorne, WNBA player.
Okay.
Her team was there, connected with her. But through that, she said, here's my friend. We'll connect later. Talk to my friend. Talk to her friend. He had a team. I think it was 3 separate teams, a total of 41 girls. And he said, and these girls were between the ages of 10 to 13. And he said, they always wanted have matching shoes or matching dust bags or get this gear or do this. How can I do that? And I said, give this a try. So he set a goal for his three teams of $5,000, set up a 2-week campaign. He raised, I want to say, just over $19,000.
Wow.
In those 3 weeks. Wow. And his response, and obviously these are my best stories to share, was
This
was the easiest platform as a coach he didn't have to stay on top of anyone. The girls were motivated themselves to go out and do it. He said he felt closer to the team because some of these challenges they make you come together. And he had girls asking him, "Hey, can I decorate your face for this cupcake challenge?" or "We're gonna do blindfold basketball horse. Will you play horse with me blindfolded?" And so that success story, obviously, it's great to raise 4x what you're anticipating raising. But for me, the success of that story comes from, here's a coach who says he feels closer to his team. They're more motivated to do these things. And so that was one of our AAU success stories. With high school, like I said, we've had 100% success rate on all raises. We had a cheer team, about 70 girls on the team who were looking to raise $60,000 to cover their fee. They ran a 1.5-week, I believe it was 11-day campaign. They raised $71,000 in that time. Because high school girls love social media posting, apparently. I've got two of them myself, so I get it. I monitor it. But again, the response from the coach was, this took very little effort on my part to push these kids to be motivated. And so to exceed what I would see as an already enormous goal in a matter of a week and a half with, I don't want to say no effort, but minimal effort in comparison to having to sell things, stock products, ship things out after the fact, follow up and collect these funds. That was so far this, I would say in the last 30 days, probably one of the bigger successes we had.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
I think I'd love to touch on, which I know is a huge
go ahead.
If it comes up. And you mentioned it earlier, and maybe I spaced on saying it, but it's, how do these athletes or these programs receive the money?
Okay.
How is it making that money? We have two different options on our platform. It's either a flat donation, which is really self-explanatory. All right, I'm going to give you $100 to go complete challenges. But our more popular and incentivizing method is a pledge per challenge basis. And we've noticed about 70 to 75% of sponsors come in with this method where it's, "Hey, Matt, for every challenge you complete, I'm going to give you $5. And we call it our pledge per challenge model. And that way it's not, "Oh, I asked grandma to give me $100. She did. I'm done." It's, "Grandma said for every challenge I complete, I get $5. Okay, I'm going to go out and complete as many challenges as possible." And that's where we really see it add up.
Okay. If you've got
grandma giving you 5, mom giving you 3, uncle giving you 7, you know, your mom's friend, perhaps, at a certain point, you're getting to $20, $25 per challenge, sometimes more, which is where you really see this begin to raise.
No, that's excellent. I'm glad that you brought that up, because knowing the flat donation versus the pledge, you know, there's obviously a distinction there, and there's two different ways that you can go about it. How much do programs make in terms of percentage? Obviously, you're a business. You're in it to make a profit as well, of course. But how much typically does the program take versus how much do they, you know, pay or what fee that they have?
It's an average of 90% of all funds raised back to the program. And I think I mentioned this to you before. I built this company for my high school girls basketball team. It just kind of grew legs of its own. Parents shared it with their friends, and it became a business. It wasn't what I set out to do. And so I've seen programs, I've participated in programs where they're taking 30% of everything that you've raised to cover their costs. Speaking firsthand, I know those aren't what my costs are, right?
Sure.
So we've kind of tiered it where on a pledge basis, we take about 85%. You keep about 85%.
Okay.
Our costs are a little bit higher in having to manage and maintain a continual pledge basis. On flat donations, you can keep up to 95% of those funds. Because I want to cover my costs, but if they're donating $100 to your program, you should get that money.
Yeah, that's phenomenal, because I know I've run several different fundraisers with my program in the past, and they have ranged. I think the lowest amount, like we had an 80-20 split, but I've even done some that were 60-40, you know, where we're only getting 60% of it. But yet it's our time and our athletes who are going out and doing the selling, and not that there isn't other costs to be covered, but certainly the margin isn't as great. So I appreciate you kind of breaking that down for us. So gets to the final question is, where can people learn more about it? Where can they sign up if they want to use it? I mean, what's the best way to get a hold of you or your sales team, whoever it is that helps set all this stuff up?
Absolutely. So the website is fundraisin.com. I know it's hard to see that connection with fundraising, and we've got fundraising, but it's spelled FUNRAISEN.com. From there, you can reach out to any member of our sales team, or you can feel confident enough to sign up directly through there. You don't want to have to deal with any of our team. You can reach out to me directly or anyone. My email is fundraisin.com. If you have any questions, feel free to send them to me, or like I said, support@fundraisin.com. And someone is usually pretty quick to get back to you. Anyone on my team is more than happy to get on a call, chat with you, walk you through the sign up process, show you some examples, give you some ideas. One of the things I didn't touch on is, once a campaign is set up, we send kind of those helpful tips and reminder direct to the coach or the program, that we kind of automatically track the progress. But if you've set easy numbers, $1,000 goal, and you're a couple days away, here's a helpful reminder. Why don't you try doing this to get the kids involved?
Okay.
We're doing that. So we have people who are happy to help.
Awesome. No, this was great. And I'll make sure to put the website and everything in our show notes and get it out there for people. So, you know, Anthony, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me and not only explain what fundraising is, but also to give us just kind of the example of how we can lead our team and our program, and how we can, you know, build better culture, better better outcomes. I think when people get together and they have some, you know, player development and team bonding and all that stuff, we're going to be better as a program. So for all you coaches out there, you know, the last thing that I want to give you is really take a look at your fundraising as a leadership opportunity. That's what this summer is all about, is getting better at leadership. And this is, whether we like it or not, our programs take money. You got to have them in order to get the gear that you want, to enter the tournament that you want, to make sure that you have the balls, whatever it is. So don't look at it as one more thing. I really encourage you to look at it as one more way in which you can be a great leader in your program, rather than one more thing that you have to do. So I appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Coach, if you've enjoyed the Coaching Lab podcast, I encourage you to go give us a 5-star rating and even leave us a review. I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening to today's episode, Coach. If you'd like more great coaching content, I encourage you to check out the Coaching Lab at coachmattdennis.com. You'll find everything you need to have more success in less time.